Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to speak tonight on a life that is in sync with God. A life that is in sync with God. You know, if you would, once you find that, 2 Peter chapter 1, stand if you're able. And I'm going to read out loud if you'll read along quietly, starting with verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. And let's pray. Father, thank you once again for another opportunity to gather together. Lord, to have the freedom in our country to do so. But Lord, to have a copy of the Word of God in our presence. Lord, there's so many around the world that don't have that, and we have so many, and we're thankful for that, Lord. But with that comes great responsibility. And I pray, God, that you would help us tonight to wisely divide the word of truth. And Lord, that it would seep into our hearts and change us. You said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I pray that you would build faith tonight. And Lord, if there's someone here that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray tonight they'd see their need, and tonight they'd be saved. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to ask you tonight, what are you portraying to the world? When people look at you, what do they see? Listen to this little clip here. Got that turned up, brother? Let's try it again here. Let's go back. He's from Germany. He's a German man. And he's sitting there listening to the radio in case any distress signals or anything come over. And all of a sudden, this English voice comes across the radio and says, "Mayday, mayday, we're sinking, we're sinking." And so it gets his attention, and he gets on the radio and he hears it again. Says, "We're sinking, we're sinking." And he gets on and he introduces himself. He says, "I'm so and so from the German such and such." And He said, "What are you thinking about?" I know it's stupid, but hey, communication is vital. Amen? What are you thinking about? When people look at us, what are they thinking about? What does it cause them to think? We profess and we say that I'm a child of God. But when they look at our lives, what are we portraying to them? Let me ask you this right here. What are we communicating to those around us? Let me put it this way. I like it this way. Are we projecting Christ, or are we just projecting a good religious person? I was talking with, I think it was Jason today. We were having lunch together and talking about this. You know, there are a lot of good people that don't attend church. Amen? I mean, kind people. People who give to organizations to help other people. I think of Princess Diane. I don't have any reason. I don't know. It's between her and the Lord if she knew the Lord Jesus as her Savior or not. But as a person, she was a good person. She seemed to always be trying to help others. And she had a heart to help others. And, you know, a lot of times people look at that and they think, well, you know, they're a good person. And in reality, none of us are good. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Because none of us can look God in the eye and say, "God, I'm just as good as you are." Can anybody do that? No matter how good we are, we all fall short of that. Amen? And therefore, that's why we all need a Savior. That's because we've all fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Because of us falling short of that, what we deserve and what we should be getting is eternity in hell. And that's the whole reason that Jesus went to Calvary. That's why He shed His blood on the cross. And that's why you hear the gospel story. He went to Calvary. He gave Himself. They didn't take His life. The Bible says He laid it down. He gave His life and shed His blood. He was the sinless Son of God, but He shed His blood so that we could have a way to be reconciled to a holy God. Not only did He die on that cross, but 3 days later He rose again out of that grave. Amen? If He had stayed dead, we'd still be in trouble. But He rose again the third day. The Bible says He's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, making intercession for you and I. Jesus has made a way for us to be reconciled to God. So, as we walk in this thing called the Christian life, what are we portraying to the world? A lot of people look at church as like a country club. You know, you have these clubs that where people do good things. They get together, they give money, they work together so that they can do good things for their community or whatever. And that's a good thing. But a lot of people look at church as that. It's just a place where I can come and act religious, go through my religious activity and do my thing and be a good person. Well, friend, it's got to go far beyond that. What God wants us to do is to accept His gift of salvation. You see, when Jesus saves us, He changes us. Like a little song we sing in camp. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Amen? And the reason is because Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, moves in. And that's why the Bible says we are the temple of God. This building is not the temple of God. You are as a child of God. And the Spirit of God goes with you everywhere you go. Amen. You're not leaving His presence when you leave this building. Amen. He's with you everywhere you go. And this world needs to see a true, born-again Christian who has a real relationship with Jesus Christ. there are going to be a lot of religious people in hell. Amen? There are going to be a lot of church members in hell. Because being good, being a church member, being baptized, none of that has anything to do with the fact of you going to heaven. The only reason that I'm going to heaven is because as a 5-year-old boy, I simply accepted Jesus Christ into my life. And He said, whosoever will may come. I took Him at His word, and He saved me. That's why you're going to heaven too. Because one day you accepted His finished work at Calvary. Now, what should that do in our life? I want to go through this somewhat quickly. But Simon Peter, it says here, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Now listen to who this is written to. To them that have obtained like precious faith. So who is this passage speaking to? If you answer me, this is going to go by quicker.
Christians.
Exactly right. He's talking to the church. He's talking to us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. All right, as we go on, he says, to those who obtain like and precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 2, I love this. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now, I love this word grace. This word grace means the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. The divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. You see, the grace, being a child of God, is more than just being trying to be a good person or trying to do this or that. It is experiencing the gift, the grace of God that He showed us. And while we were sinners, He died for us, the Bible says. And we accept salvation, and through that grace, that unmerited favor. See, I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve heaven. You don't deserve heaven. But Jesus loved us while we were sinners. And He made a way for us to be reconciled to a holy God. So that grace I've experienced in my life. Amen? I'm a child of God, not because I deserve it, but because Jesus chose to love me. He chose to love you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. God loves you.
Amen.
And He's made a way for us to be saved. And that grace, that divine influence upon our heart has changed us. Amen? And it is reflected in our life. There's a lot of people out there that are saying they're a Christian and they're the same as they've always been. They're still living in their sin and it doesn't bother them at all. Friend, I'm telling you right now, those folks aren't saved. He said, Jimmy, you can't judge people. No, but by their fruits you shall know them. The Bible is very clear. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, the Bible says.
Amen.
You cannot have the Holy Spirit of God living in you and you stay the same. It ain't going to happen. Amen. So, we see this, that's the grace of God. I don't deserve this wonderful gift that God's given us, but He has given it. And that grace, that divine influence upon my heart will be reflected in my life. Now, let's go on. It says that grace and peace. How many of y'all believe that we need peace in this world? Boy, don't we? You know, that's why God's people can stand in the midst of storms of life. Just because you're a child of God doesn't mean you're not going to go through the storm. We talked about that the other night. It doesn't mean that you may not have to go through the fiery furnace. Remember that? But it does mean in the midst of that storm, I can have a peace that passes all understanding, knowing that my God's in control. Amen? I remember old Paul when he was on the ship. The Bible says that they'd been in a storm for 2 weeks. That's a bad storm. They haven't seen the star, the sun, or the moon in 2 weeks because of the storm banging on that ship. And the Bible says that everybody on the ship, they had given up hope. They had come to the conclusion, we're going to die out here in the middle of the sea. And the Bible says that this angel of the Lord showed up and spoke to Paul and gave him the promise that everyone on that ship would be spared. The ship would wreck. And that God had a plan for him to get him in front of the leaders to share the gospel. He said, but everybody on the ship's going to be okay. Well, when God told him that, the wind was still blowing. The circumstance had not changed at all. But he gets on top of the ship and he looks, he says, fellas, be of good cheer. I have just heard from the Lord. And everybody's going to be all right. And I believe God. Nothing had changed. The only thing that had changed is he had heard a word from the Lord. Amen? And that brought peace in the midst of that storm. Now, Paul was the only one on that ship that was enjoying the trip. Everybody else was still fretting. Everybody else was still trying to save the boat. And Paul was probably, I'm just seeing, kicked back and saying, man, y'all just wasting your time. We're going to lose the boat. I done told you that. But we're going to be okay. Amen? And I tell you, this world is in a turmoil. This world's in a mess. But for God's people, we can have a peace that passes all understanding because of the Lord. Amen? Grace and peace be multiplied. I love that word multiplied. It means to increase a fullness, a large number. Think about that. God wants this grace that we are experiencing in our life to just grow in us. We ought to be the most gracious people on the face of the earth because of the grace that we've experienced. We ought to be the most peaceful people on the face of the earth because of what Jesus is doing and has done in our life. Amen? Now think about that. Multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3 says, according as His divine power hath given us all things. Now, divine power is talking about the Holy Spirit of God. That's the power that God has made available to us as children of God. Now, listen carefully. Because of His grace, because of this peace that passes all understanding, that He wants that to be growing in us, multiplying in us. And through the power of the Holy Spirit hath given us, what's that word? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Now the word life simply means to breathe. Amen? How many of y'all are breathing tonight? And godly. In other words, living life right. Amen? Doing it godly. He said, Jimmy, you just don't know the circumstances that I have to live in. You don't understand what I've grown up in or this or that. And friend, listen, it doesn't matter where you're coming from tonight. It doesn't matter what kind of atmosphere you have at work. You can be godly in that atmosphere. Because the Word of God says here, through His divine power hath given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Doing it godly. Now, we're going to see what some of those things are. And notice what it says after that. Through what? He's given us all things pertaining unto life and godliness through what? The knowledge of Him. The Word of God. How do we learn about God? Through His Word. Through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory. That word glory means honor, praise, dignity, worship. God's people are called to be people of honor, to be people of dignity. Man, when you deal with children of God in business, they ought to be upfront and honest. Amen? That's not always the case, is it? But God's people ought to be honest. God's people ought to have dignity and praise and worship. And then it says virtue, which means excellence. We ought to do things right. God deserves our best. Amen? The quality of moral excellence, righteousness, and responsibility. It also means conformity to standard morality as by abstinence from vices. In other words, we have a life that is directed by principle, not how we feel. Amen? We've been in the Word of God. We find out what God's Word says. And we pattern our life by those characteristics. Now, I'll tell you the truth. Most Christians aren't doing that. We're going on what we feel. We're going on how it affects me. Again, it's all about me. I go to the church that I go to because it entertains me. Friend, that shouldn't be the case. We ought to be people of principle. We've been called to glory and virtue. Verse 4, again, speaking of the Word of God, whereby are given unto us, what? Exceeding great and precious promises. Friend, do you realize you hold in your hand tonight the Word of God? It's full of promises from God to you. It's full, exceeding great and precious promises. That by these, by what? These promises. Ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. Notice that, having escaped the corruption. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word of God. It's the Word of God that will keep us clean in this wicked world. It's the Word of God that will direct our steps in this world that is full of man's thinking. But the Bible says God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And yet it does say that God will the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So as God orders our steps and directs our steps, don't be surprised when it goes contrary to man's thinking. Amen? But how are we going to know the difference? Because we've been in the Word of God. By these great and precious promises. The psalmist also said, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, Blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Amen? And in his law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, you get in the Word of God and you love God's Word. You're meditating on God's Word. You spend time in it and you think about it. You try to memorize it. And I found that, you know, the older I get, the harder it is to memorize. I can't remember what I ate for lunch today. But anyway, so it gets harder as you go. But that doesn't mean we should quit trying to memorize the Word of God. Amen? Ask God to help you. And continue memorizing the Word of God. Find out Scripture that helps you in your life where you're at. And memorize those Scriptures. Memorize it. Blessed is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice the decline there. Walking, standing, sitting. That's how sin works. Amen? No one got up one day and said, you know, the teacher, when they used to ask us in elementary school, what do you want to be when you grow up? I never had any of my friends go, ooh, I want to be a drunk when I grow up. Amen? And yet some of them grew up to be that. Why? Step by step. A first drink. Trying to be cool. Taking that first. I had no intention of being a drunk, but just trying to fit in, took that first drink. And it just step by step by step. And then they're at the place where they no longer control it, but it's controlling them. That's how sin works. Amen? And by the way, we think of things like drinking and things like that as far as sin. But let me get churchy with our sins, all right? How about gossip? Amen? Gossip's sin. Amen? Some people just love to gossip. They get on that phone and start talking. It's sin. It needs to be repented of. Just like drinking. You're just more spiritual with your sin. Amen? Friend, listen. There's so many things. How do we know how we're supposed to be? By getting in the Word of God. Everything we need through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is available to us right here in our laps tonight. It's the Word of God. verse 5. And beside this, beside what? The Spirit of God and the Word of God. Add to your faith. I want you to remember those two words, all right? Add to. Say it with me. Add to. Remember those two words. Add to your faith, first of all, virtue. Virtue. The word in our faith, of course, is talking about our salvation. But add to that, virtue. Now, virtue is along the same lines of what we talked about earlier. Excellence. We ought to do things first class when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You ever notice how people seem to throw God their extra instead of their best? I hear people get up to sing a song and they'll say, "And we ain't practicing, y'all pray for us now as we try to sing." God deserves better than that. You should have practiced. Amen? I've never heard anybody get up in the Dove Awards or the CMA Awards and say, "Hey, I ain't had time to practice, but we're going to wing it up here." Amen? If the world's not going to do it, don't you think the Lord deserves better in the world? We give our time to organizations and this and that and the other, and yet we don't give time to the Lord. Listen, God deserves our best. He deserves our best. That's what the tithe is even all about. It's giving off the top, that 10%, giving it to the Lord. And then offerings, tithe and offering, it's giving to the Lord. It's coming off the top. I done went from preaching to meddling, haven't I? What a lot of y'all do is you pay your bills, and if there's anything left, you'll tithe. That's not tithing. Tithing is giving God the first fruit. Amen? And God blesses that. And friend, I know what it is. We totally live by faith. I don't get a paycheck. I never know what's coming in a month. I understand what it is to depend on God. But God honors you when you honor His Word. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, what's the next word? Knowledge. Knowledge. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Notice what it says. Showed to be an approved unto who? A workman that approved unto who? God. Unto God. We ought to be more concerned about being accepted by God than being accepted by some denomination. We ought to be more concerned about being accepted by God than our friends. Amen? Study to show thyself approved unto God. It's His face that I want to shine on me. And friend, that knowledge, I like what Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." He didn't say, "I know in whom I believe." He said, "I know the one I believe in. I know Him personally." Amen? That's the way it ought to be with God's people. We ought to know God. We've been in the Word of God. We've spent time in prayer. We've seen Him working in our life. And we can go to the world and say, "Listen, I'm not talking about a bunch of religious junk. I'm talking about a person named Jesus Christ who has changed my life. He's done something for me today." Amen? I know Him. I can recommend Him. That knowledge of God ought to be growing. And by the way, none of us have arrived. I've been to Bible school and I've studied the Bible pretty seriously since I've been 12. And I tell you what, I still run across chapters in the Bible and verses in the Bible that I've read many, many times, and a new truth comes out at me. Amen? because this is how we get the mind of God, and I have not figured God out yet. I'm glad He's not that puny where I can. Amen? We will be learning till we get to heaven. But that knowledge ought to be growing. Growing. Don't be satisfied with the knowledge that you have. You know, even as a pastor, when I pastored, it was easy. You know, a lot of times pastors have more knowledge of Scripture than most of their congregation. That's why we call them to be our pastor, to help us in our walk. Amen? They've been to school, they've studied. It's easy as a pastor even to kind of sit back and rely on our past knowledge because we're so far ahead of everybody else maybe. But friend, listen, no matter where you are in your walk, maybe you just got saved this week and you're new at this thing. Well, that's fine. Go forward. Learn. Maybe you've been at it for years. That's fine. Don't get comfortable. Keep learning the Word of God. Keep learning. Add to that knowledge. And then knowledge, what's the next word? Temperance. That's self-control. Amen. Self-control. And that hits a lot of areas of our life, doesn't it? I wrestle with it as far as eating. I like to eat. Can y'all tell? I used to be able to eat a lot and it didn't stick around. But now I look at food and gain 10 pounds. I have to be careful of that because I don't want anything controlling me. When I pastored, I love coffee. Coffee's a gift from heaven. But anyway, I love coffee. And my wife doesn't, but she likes to make it. So that's a good balance. But anyway, when I pastored, I like coffee so much, I would go a week out of the month without drinking coffee. Just to prove to myself I didn't need it. Because I love coffee. Now, I'm not saying that you need to do that. That's just something the Lord put on my heart to do. I wanted to let this body know that this flesh isn't calling the shots. Amen? And sometimes we need to get this in check, don't we? We ought to have self-control. The next thing is what? Patience. Patience. This is a cheerful or hopeful endurance. Constancy. Amen. I long to see in the church of God some people who are just constant. Amen, Pastor. I remember as a kid, people in my church who didn't teach a class. They didn't do anything like that. They didn't get up in front of folks. But I knew as a kid when I walked through those back doors that brother so-and-so was going to be sitting there. Sister so-and-so was going to be there. They're going to be there. They're going to have a smile on their face. They were consistent. And as a young boy, I saw people of God who were consistently faithful to the house of God. And that did something to me. Amen? It says a lot. We make time for things that are important to us. Amen? We do. If church is important to you, you'll make time for it. And again, it's not out of duty. It's something that's generally important to you and you want to be there. You ought to be consistent for the house of God. If God has led you to this local church and you're a member here, you ought to be faithful here. And many of you have been this week, been so faithful. And God honors that. God honors that. What's the next word? Godliness. Godliness. That's something I think the church is getting away from. Holiness. Being godlike. You know, I'm thankful that we can come and God's not so much impressed with what we have on our back when we come to church. But see, that kind of falls into the excellence thing, doesn't it? Don't you think God deserves our best? Now, if your best is a pair of overalls that's got a hole in the knee, well, bless God, put them on and come to church. You know, it's kind of like that one fellow that was his best. And he went to a church, and after church, the pastor pulled him aside and said, "Sir," he said, "I want you to go home this week and ask the Lord how you ought to dress the church when you come to this church." So the man said he'd do that. And the next Sunday, he shows up again in his overalls. And after church, the pastor said, "Sir, I thought I asked you to ask the Lord what you should wear to church." And he said, "Sir, I did." But he said he ain't never been to this church. He didn't know. God is not so interested on the outward as He is the inward, the heart. Because if the heart's right, it's going to flow out here. Amen? And I think we, as independent Baptists, have gotten bent out of shape and have so emphasized the outward. And we got a lot of people walking around looking good who have a stinking heart. Take care of the heart. The heart. Amen? And I appreciate your pastor who honors the house of God. There's very few pastors these days that still wear a suit and tie. And he even does it during the week. I appreciate that about your pastor. He takes his position as a pastor and as a man of God very seriously. But see, your pastor's not just the outward suit. He's got a heart that backs that up. I encourage you, dear friend, there ought to be a holiness. This platform, and this choir, when you walk up on this platform, this just isn't a choir loft. This spot has been sanctified for the preaching of the Word of God. God's man stands behind this sacred desk, has been with the Lord all week asking God what He would have Him give you to help you in your walk. This is holy ground. You ought to treat it that way. I don't know if I told you this or not. My mom and dad didn't allow me to get on the platform in our church when I was a kid. And what they were trying to teach me is a respect for the man of God and the things of God. But God called me to preach when I was young, and my very first message that I preached at Tabernacle Baptist Church in Florida, my home church, I got up and stood behind that podium. At that time, I was probably about that big. I barely could see over the top of the podium. But brother and sister, I will never forget the feeling that I had when I stepped foot on that platform and got behind that podium. And I asked God, "Don't ever let me get over that feeling. Don't ever let this get common to me." Things of God ought to be held in a holy light. Amen? And that's part of what God produces in His people here. Godliness should be growing in us. I see the church kind of going away from that. It's almost, they have this attitude of bebopping in God's presence, calling Him Big Daddy and all kinds of just no holiness at all. I would, listen, and you know, I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I don't like Obama myself, but you know what? If he was to invite me to the White House, I would dress up and I would call him Mr. President because his office deserves that honor. Amen? And yet, we come into God's presence, the Creator of the universe, and say, "Hey, Daddy, what's up?" It ain't right, I'm telling you. And God will develop in us a holiness for the things of God. I spent longer there than I wanted to. The next one is what? Brotherly kindness. We all love each other, amen? Now, I admit, some people are hard to love. They are. Some people are. Some people are easy to love, amen? But the bottom line is, I really can't love you like I need to without the Lord's help. even if you're easy to love. I can't be to you what I ought to be without the Lord. But God will develop that brotherly kindness, that fraternal affection for one another. Church, the world is tired of seeing God's people fight each other. I'm tired of it. I can imagine the world is just sick of it. They say you know about love and can't even get along with each other. I thank God for churches like this where y'all obviously love each other. It's sickening, to be honest with you. I love it. I love it. That's the way it ought to be. And when people walk through those doors who aren't necessarily part of your local body, they ought to feel that love. They ought to know that you love them. Amen. The last thing is charity. This is godly love, agape love. That is only possible through the Lord. Now, we're about to close, so hang with me. There are two words I asked you to remember. What were they? What is it? Okay, two of you. Let's see if the rest of you know. What is it? Add to. Add to. Let's go back to that in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And then it lists these virtues. Now, I love this word, add to. It comes from two root words, one of them meaning a ring or a round dance. And the other word means to be a dance leader. Now think about this. It's actually a musical term. Have y'all ever seen, is it the river dance? Something like that. It's an Irish. You have a line of, I don't know, 50 or something people. And they're stepping together. How many of y'all have seen that? You know what I'm talking about. Isn't that amazing? I love seeing people work together. I guess it's just, I've been around independent Baptists so much, it just tickles me to see somebody working together. But anyway, just like they had, you know, they didn't just get up there on stage one day and say, hey, let's try this. And all of them right together. They practiced. There was someone that led them. Let's try that again. Okay, you're a little off step over there. You try it. And then they were able to perform this incredible act where these people are stepping together in time with the music in unison. It's kind of like a choir. When your choir gets up here to sing, you ever heard a bass part all by itself? How many of y'all have ever? It's really sad, to be honest with you. It doesn't move much. It is. Have you ever heard a tenor part by itself? It sounds about as ridiculous. All those parts on their own may sound a little weird, but when they're together, and together you're up in a choir. You talked about being in a choir with Billy Graham years ago. I've seen choirs with them that had over 5,000 people in them. And to see these different denominations coming together because they have a heart to see their lost friends saved. And singing about the wonderful gifts of God, the wonderful gift of God's salvation, together, in unison, have all these parts going on. 5,000 voices going, man, it's awesome. This word add to simply means that very thing. Our life should be a choir. A dance production, so to speak, of these virtues. And they ought to be in sync together. Now, friend, some of these, like knowledge, some of you here tonight, you say, well, I'm doing pretty good in the knowledge area. I'm growing in the Scripture, and you're in a good church that teaches the Word of God, so you're growing in knowledge. What about these other areas? How about the charity department? The love department? Is that off step a little bit? All these virtues ought to be in step in our life. And as we go out into a lost and dying world, they should not see us. They should see a life that is singing out the glory of God, that is stepping out, that is dancing out the glory of God. They ought to see Jesus. And the only way that that's possible is when we, as we go back, when we go back and get the divine power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God involved in our lives, and start lining up with that. When we do, we will begin to see these growing in us. And notice what that says. Verse 8, "For if these things be in you," amen, they're there, "and," what's the next word? "Abound." And that word actually means superabound. They are growing. You ought to have more knowledge of God today than you did this time last year. You ought to have more love for the family of God than you did this time last year. You ought to have a love for the world, the lost and dying world, more so than you did this time. You ought to be growing in these virtues. Amen? And that's only possible through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It's not about being religious. It's about being a child of God. It's about walking with Him, listening to Him. Amen? "If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful." And when I first read this, I'm thinking, well, isn't that the same thing? Barren, unfruitful? And I thought, well, probably not, since God used both words. And I began to study that. And what it is, barren is inactive or unemployed. In other words, there's nothing going on. Unfruitful means unplucked fruit. The fruit's there, but it's dying on the vine. It's not helping anybody. If we allow the Spirit of God to develop these virtues in our life, it'll give us a life that is active for the Lord. Amen? And that is producing fruit, but not just fruit for fruit's sake. That fruit will be picked and used to bless others. There are a lot of Christians who have a lot of knowledge of the Word of God, but that's as far as it goes. They just learning. And I remember as a kid, my dad asked me to wash his car, and I did. I got the bucket out and the sponge, and I scrubbed that thing real good and had it shining up, and stuck the bucket back in the garage. And about a week later, there was this stench in the garage. It smelled like a dead possum or something that didn't crawl up in there. We were tearing that garage apart trying to find out where that dead animal was in that garage. It was awful smell. We started following our nose. You know where it landed? That old muddy bucket of water that I didn't dump out. And that sponge. And that sponge had soaked up all that water and it just sat there and stagnated. And it stunk. I threw it away. It wasn't even worth washing. There's a lot of God's people just sitting in the house of God just soaking it up. But you're not giving out. And spiritually, you stink. Amen? You're just soaking it in. You can quote Scripture. You can do this. You know the Bible truths. You know. But what good is it doing anybody? Amen? That fruit's just hanging on the tree. And it's going to rot. If we allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to do its work in our heart and life, we will be abounding in these things. And it'll make us that we're not barren, we're not unfruitful, but that we're producing fruit and we're being a blessing to others. Amen? And then it goes on. Here it is. "In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ," verse 9, "but he that lacketh these things is blind, has no vision." What does the Bible say about that? Where there is no vision, what? the people perish. Friend, I'm in churches all across this country who are functioning, but they're like that bucket of stale water. They're not reaching beyond their walls. They come in and put their time in and do their religious activity and then go throughout the week, never mention Jesus, never spend time in the Word. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Listen to where we can get. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. You know, it's even possible to get to the place where you even start wondering if yourself, am I saved? I love what verse 10 says, though. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. I long to see revival in our country. But it starts with God's people. And it starts with God's people quit playing church and get real with God and start letting Him produce in us what He wants to produce through His Spirit and through His Word. And He will change us from glory to glory. We will become more like Him. And again, as we walk through our world, we're in sync with the Lord. And our body, our life, the way we respond in all this is singing out the glory of God to the lost and dying world. How do we measure up tonight? But let's go to the very beginning. It says, add to your faith. That's where it starts. I am convinced, because of the truths of God's Word, I am convinced that our churches across this country are full of people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're good people, religious people, but lost. The first thing is to know that you're saved. As I said earlier, Jesus loves you. He died on a cross. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. Listen, I was born in a Christian home. Thank the Lord for that heritage. I was born in a home where my mom and dad knew the Lord. I was going to church 9 months before I was born. But the truth of the matter is this. I was lost and needed a Savior. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He went to the cross. He paid for our sin. He shed His blood. And the Bible says, third day He rose again. Friend, if you're here tonight and don't know Jesus as your Savior, Jesus says, come, I'll save you tonight. You come and repent of your sin. Ask me into your life. I will save you. I will change your life tonight. It can happen tonight. It all starts there. But I know many of you already have made that decision. Let me ask you this. Where are you going from there? Are you adding, allowing the Spirit of God and the Word of God to add to your faith these virtues so that we can have an impact in the world? Let's stand, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that, God, You did not just call us to do something, but You gave us instructions through Your Word on how to do it. And also You gave us Your Holy Spirit to empower us to be able to do it, Lord. Father, I pray that we would just get a hold of this and that the Spirit of God would just put it deep in our soul. That, Lord, our hearts would be in tune and sync with what You have for us, Lord. That our knowledge of You is growing, our patience, our love for one another. Lord, that this world would see Jesus in our lives. God, help us to get out of your way so that you can do something mighty through our lives.